Now on Correct Weight, RSN is Talking Horses with Jackson France.
Joe McKinnon enjoying some time overseas. I think we'll get Joe back sometime in the next couple of weeks. But while she's been away, Jackson Franz has been jumping in the chair and talking horses. Good morning to you, Jackson.
Morning, Warren. How are you going?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. What have you got in store today?
Yeah, so today I'm going to be joined by Darren Dance of Australian Thoroughbred Bloodstock, Warren, who stakes claim to breeding and owning Saab Hassan's Sable Star Serious Suspect. Darren, good morning. It must be a great thrill to see a homebred carry your silks to Group 3 success down the famed Flemington Straight.
Yeah, thanks, Jackson. Yeah, it was a terrific day. Saab's done a terrific job with that horse, and it was just great for the owners and us, obviously, just to see him power away and get the job done.
And what was the report going into the race? He was obviously backed really strongly late into almost favouritism. Were you confident that he could get the job done, and was that any of yours and your owner's money on there late, Darren?
When you get a horse with Saab Hassan, he's always confident they're going to run well. It was only seven in the race, but there was four or five really top chances in that race myself, and King of Sparta couldn't have been any more impressively in the Fletchingley when he won, and Bob Peters, you've got to respect him, and the Queensland horse and a few others. So, look, I went in there hoping that he could run top three. I kind of thought he would, just because he always does. Like this prep, I think his worst run, he's run fourth. So I know the chiropractor went over him and reported he was brilliant on Thursday, and Saab was happy with the way he was going and travelled down, and, you know, it was a race he wanted to win. And to the credit of the horse, you know, I didn't have a cent on it. Some of the owners had a little bit on it, but we've all been around long enough to know that it's a mugs game.
That's for sure, and he's a seriously consistent gelding. He's now an 8-year-old, and as Saab mentioned, he just continues to get better with age. It's really amazing to see that a horse can be continuing to hit his straps like he has at such an age after 30-odd starts, Darren.
I wish he was only four, because I don't know where the next one's coming from. But look, to be honest, I think the transition of moving that horse to his farm at Tobilk has made the big difference, because, look, the horse has always had good ability. We've always thought he was sort of a benchmark 100 horse or a listed horse, maybe, you know, could run midfield or top four in a Group 3, but he'd have a couple of runs and he'd lighten off, and we'd bring him back to my farm and we'd feed him up and then we'd take him back. And he went through that process for over a year, just trying to get weight on him and keep weight on him and keep him happy. But with the transition to Bilk, he's out in the day paddock. He loves it. We don't even talk about whether the horse is carrying condition now. He's just thriving, and he's happy, and he's more relaxed. He's matured. He's taken a long time to mature, and now he's just a proper racehorse. And I think to Bilk, and, you know, we've had a number of different riders on him over the journey, and I think no one's ridden him any better than the way Ethan Brown's going about at the moment.
And Saab's done a really good job with the horse, Darren, and he started out his career with Darren Weir, who at the time was the biggest trainer in the land. So what was the reasoning behind entrusting a smaller and far less credentialed trainer in Saab with such a promising sprinter that you had on your hands at the time?
Well, I think for a number of years I've been going to the races with horses, and Saab, I was always pestering him to give him a horse, and at the time he had Shoreham, and look, I just said to him, one day we'll give you a nice horse, you know, we'll just find a nice horse to give you. And then when we had to relocate those horses, Serious Suspect was a bit of a hot horse. He was a little bit hard to train. He needed to go to a small yard where he was going to get plenty of TLC, plenty of attention, and it was almost like he needed to be the best horse in the stable he went to. So sitting down with the owners, we just came up with a number of trainers, and there was a vote, a democratic vote, and Saab got over the line. So, look, it's worked out really well, because it is his best horse at the minute. He gets all that time, he gets all that extra attention, and, you know, Saab will ring me up and say, oh, I went out at 2 o'clock in the morning and, you know, put another rug on him or took one off him. And, you know, the big stables can't do that. So, you know, he lives, breathes, and he's all horse Saab.
You've bred and raced some nice horses over the years, Darren, and when he was a young horse there that was foaled down in your farm and progressed through to that yearling phase, what was the impression that he gave you?
Look, he was by wanted at, you know, wanted one that Newmarket that day that we had hail and floods, and
I knew out of that go I am there, we needed to get that Dane Hill fast net kind of line happening for the mare. And look, when he was foaled down, he was a nice, correct individual. He was a little bit lean and rakey. You know, he wasn't a big, strong, robust horse the way he presents now. But look, he never goes into any trouble. He never had a sick day in his life. And we were always going to race him. Group of owners that, you know, owned the mare. The mare was with Colin Little. And the clients just came to me one day and said, look, she's going to be retired. We'd like to breed her. Can we adjust her at your place? And it was a smart move that I said yes in the end. But Colin Little pulled me aside a couple of times over the years and said to me, what's happening with that mare? Because she showed heaps and she'll lead you good fun.
And in her breeding career thus far, she's had serious suspect, as we've discussed. But has she been able to throw any nice progeny since, Darren?
Look, she's deceased now to me, unfortunately. But, look, she had a couple of dumb deals that failed to impress. She's got a really nice press statement. That's her last foal, and it's actually her only filly. So it's just turned three. It's been in, it's had a couple of jump outs, but we won't see it until the autumn. I'll give it the spring to mature as the family needs time out of that Galileo line. And, you know, she's as good a type as filly as I've got on the farm. So I think at the end of the day, whilst the others have, you know, won one or two races, or one might have won six or eight around the country, Serious Suspect's by far the best horse. And hopefully Serious Statement, the half-sister by press statement, can do something next year.
And how many mares do yourself, your partner Elizabeth, along with your owners, have there currently on the farm?
Too many.
And of those too many,
I've just been around the pet all this morning. There'll be 35 here, and then there's probably another 10 overseas. So we're producing about 25 to 30 foals a year.
For sure. And you've brought some chairs in really nice horses over the years, but how much more satisfying is it to watch one that you've bred return to the mounting yard a winner in your silks?
Well, yesterday I was a little bit gobsmacked when he went over the line, because at the 200 when Ethan went for the whip, I thought I could see King of Sparta coming, and I could see, I think it was Oliver on Bob Peters' horse, having no luck out the back, and I thought, oh, geez, where's that line? It's always so far down that straight. But when he went over the line, I was probably a little bit in awe of the horse. But when you've raced horses with these clients the best part of 25 years, the satisfaction I get more for the other partners, the breeders that stayed in him, and some long-term clients that came in. And, you know, I'm always delighted for Saab and Zoe. And I'm a big fan of Ethan Brown. He's had his ups and downs, but I'm rapt to see him being able to ride 54 and doing a good job. And that effort yesterday to go out there, and, you know, he's always been a little bit suspect on soft tracks, but, you know, with Peter Ellis, Ethan Brown and Saab Hassan walking down that Flemington Straight trying to find the best lane, you know, that's what it's all about. But I was rapt for the whole team, but mostly for the owners and partners in the horse.
Yeah, he was certainly superb yesterday, Darren. He was able to break 110 over 1,200 on rain-affected ground. And as Saab said, the likely target is the Bobby Lewis, the Group 2 in 5 weeks. So fingers crossed he can get another success there at Flemington. But just wanted to get an update on another one at your homebreds who you race in unison with, Francis and Christine Cook in Steinham. She's the Group 3 winner and at one-time Australasian Oaks Fancy. Where's she at the moment?
Yeah, she's back in work. She's been in work for quite a while. The whole autumn went pear-shaped with the rain. It just didn't work out, which wherever we went, it just was a heavy 20, and we ended up just pulling the plug. We were going to go to Queensland. We just pulled the plug on and set it for spring. So her target's the Empire Rose. She's in work. She's not far off the jump out. The reports are that Karen and David Eustace are very pleased with her, and, you know, she'll present sometime in the spring, and all roads will lead to the Flemington Carnival. But, you know, she's an exciting mare. As you say, she's Group 3 winner. She's Group 2 placed, and she's been close up behind some very good horses. But the rain didn't help us in the autumn. We kind of wasted 6 months. But she's only lightly raced, and, you know, she's got a good future. And the mare's just had a full sister tour up in Newmarket, so we'll look forward to getting that filly out there here next year.
And Steinham is by Frankel Show. She's an extremely valuable broodmare proposition. Will yourself, Francis and Christine and the other partners retain her to breed with post-racing career, or do you feel like you could potentially capitalise on the strength of the current broodmare market?
Well, what we'll do at the end is, as a group, we'll sit down and we'll just have a chat and come up with an outcome, and more than likely, she'll more than likely go through the chairman's sale when she's done. But as I said, we've got the mare, and you know she's got a Frankel on ground, and we're going to try and get her back inside the Frankel. So it'll be nice to have that line continue on because she's an exciting filly.
And you've had 10 Melbourne Cup runners since 2011 have come so agonisingly close to success with Heartbreak City in 2016. Sorry to bring that up again, but are yourself and Elizabeth still on the lookout for Melbourne Cup hopefuls, or has the new RV measures made it a little bit too difficult?
No, I wouldn't say that it's made it difficult at all. I kind of respect those rules. No one wants to see a horse injured, you know, at the races. So the rules are the rules. You just got to work with them. Look, Heartbreak City just got beat ahead, but at this stage, you know, we've looked at a number of horses this season. The pool to buy is not as big as it was 5 years ago, so it's a much smaller staying pool. There's less credentialed horses available and very, very difficult to buy them. So when I like to buy a cups horse, I like to buy an actual cups horse, one that I know will get a run, not one that might be okay in 2 years because you're spending a lot of money and the owner's expected to line up. So we are looking at the top end of those sort of horses, but the two we identified, one came out and then won a group one, and that was the end of that. So he'd be weeded out, and I think he's down to the arc. And the other horse is just, I think he's coming, but just no way is he for sale in any under any circumstances. So I'd say unless something pops up in the next month, we won't have a runner this year. But as far as I know, they're still going to run the Cup next year.
Well, yeah, hopefully moving forward, we can potentially see a Group 1 Melbourne Cup winner in your silks, Darren. But thanks again for joining me this morning on Talking Horses, and congratulations on that outstanding result yesterday with Serious Suspect.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for having us on. Cheers.
Well, that was Darren Dance of Australian Thoroughbred Bloodstock that I caught up with this morning on Talking Horses, Warren.
What else caught your eye around the country yesterday, Jackson?
Yeah, so another syndicator who's had really great success from acquiring gallopers from the Northern Hemisphere was Australian Bloodstock, and it was a memorable day for Jamie Lovett and Luke Murrell's operation, with the leading syndicators notching 3 Metro winners, 4 placings, a second, third and a fourth in the Group 2 Missile Stakes at Randwick, Warren.
Yeah, that was certainly, I'm sure they would have liked to win. And I think talking to Ray Thomas, a couple of those mares might be scheduled for a bit of a broodmare sale, or perhaps even heading to the breeding barn. Wonderbar in particular, I know, has been a terrific mare for Connections. Just under $1 million for her. Jackson, it's been great to have you on board while Jo's away. If she finds her way back next week, you'll be on the other side of the window. But if not, you can have another week of Talking Horses with us.
Nah, thanks. It's been great to join you, Warren. I'm looking forward to hopefully being back into the chair sooner rather than later.